Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Final!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah.
We're back for a brand new edition of Drive Time Sports. Right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7.50 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Happy as always to be along with you on the afternoon drives. And today, we're talking all NFL football. Typically, we say football talk for Tuesdays. Off-season, you got to maneuver things around a little bit, and that's what we did. Plenty of NFL storylines to talk about, including the Melvin Gordon situation with the Chargers. What's going to happen with Gordon? How much should he be paid? And, you know, you can kind of connect this to some other areas in the NFL, such as Todd Gurley's contract and Le'Veon Bell's deal. And we know that Zeke Elliott is going to get paid. I think those three deals are monumental to the running back market moving forward into the next CBA. We will talk about that a little bit later on in the show. Let's take a look at the scoreboard in Major League Baseball in this condensed intro to the show. Plenty of day games earlier. We had a final with the New York Mets really kicking it into high gear offensively. They pull off a 14-4 win over the Minnesota Twins. The St. Louis Cardinals stop the Pittsburgh Pirates 6-5. It's Milwaukee over Atlanta 5-4. And the Chicago Cubs get the best of the Cincinnati Reds after rallying last night to pick up a win over Cincinnati. Yu Darvish, he no-hit the Reds for about four innings in today's contest. Right now, a couple of games in progress. The Giants looking for a sweep of the Rockies. They lead 9-5. That one is in the eighth inning. And also going on right now, Oakland 7, Seattle 2. So that's a look at what's happening right now with the national sports scene. Again, all NFL football. It's coming up here on this Wednesday edition of Drive Time Sports when we return on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750 with Jordan Buscarini.
Yeah, running down a dream that never would come to me. Running down a dream.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, live from the Auto Forum Studio, KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. Jordan Buscarini alongside Vinny Rondinelli as we talk NFL on this Wednesday edition of the show. Vinny, a lot of topics to get into. Last week, you and I spent a whole segment strictly talking about franchise tag. And I hope the listeners are intrigued by the business aspect of any league as I am, because I really get a kick out of meshing numbers and crunching them and making sure they work. And the NFL is so much different than the NBA and Major League Baseball because you're dealing with a hard cap.
An even cap.
It's even. It's an even hard cap. Right. In the NBA, you have bird rights where you can go over the cap to re-sign your own player. You have the luxury tax, which is 1-1. Then after the second year, it's 4-1. Major League Baseball, you have the luxury tax. There's so many different nuances to it. The NFL is unique in this sense, and I say this all the time. I mean, it does punish you for drafting well. But we had a story come out last week, this weekend actually, with Melvin Gordon of your Los Angeles Chargers.
Yep.
You and I shared a text message or two about it. It's an agent-driven league. I hope people realize that. Sometimes I think we overlook that aspect of it. When you have a player come out and he demands a trade or he demands to be paid or he's going to hold out, that comes from the agent. It does not come from the player 9 out of 10 times. It's an agent-driven league. When you hear rumors and they circulate on Twitter and social media, 9 out of 10 times, that is from the agent. It's an agent-driven world as far as the major professional sports in this country go. And again, talking about Gordon, Vinny, he wants to be paid. He's due to make, what, $5.6 million, right? I'll give you my spill on it, and then I'm going to let you really break down the details of this because nobody knows Charger football like yourself. But when I look at Gordon, he has next to no leverage because he's a free agent next season. They just franchise tag him if they want. This isn't Le'Veon Bell playing off of the franchise tag. He's got no leverage. On top of that, there is a very viable option sitting on that Charger bench. And for those fantasy football players out there, I'm a big fan of handcuffing. If you draft Melvin Gordon, you draft Eckler because that guy can play football. We saw it last season. What were the Chargers without Gordon last year?
4-0.
Is he important? Yes, he's a very important piece to this team. Is it life or death? No, I just don't believe it is.
Well, I agree with you. I it's funny because when you bring that out, the first thing that, you know, we got a group text here. My family's full of Charger fans, and my response was instantly, this is agent talk to get something stirring before the camp. His agent's the only one talking. And it was a week before Melvin Gordon said a word. He was at a charity event, shockingly enough, when somebody asked him, and his side came out. And it was, you know, not as hardcore as his agent. But you're right. He doesn't have much leverage. And he has a fifth-year option picked up by the Chargers. So he's under contract. So he can't sit out the year or he loses that, you know, option. So he's still under contract for the next year. You could be franchise tagged 2 years in a row.
Which is big.
So the Chargers control him for the next 3 years.
Okay, and let's stop right there, and then we'll continue. And I just want to point this out of how favorable a franchise tag is for a running back. To me, it's completely different than, say, a linebacker or a defensive end, which we have seen franchise tags used
right.
on. The lifespan of an NFL running back is how many seasons?
3.7 or something.
Okay. So right now, Melvin Gordon's under contract for the upcoming season. That's one.
Yeah, it's one.
He's under contract for the next season because of the franchise tag.
It's two.
And they could tag him again. That's three. That's why it's important here with Gordon. Sorry to interrupt, but
no,
continue.
You're right. So
they control his destiny.
The front office of the Chargers control his destiny for the next 3 years. Now, for those people on the player side of this new CBA, they're going to squawk and moan and say, well, see, he doesn't have any control over his future. That's not true. These guarantees are fully, those 3 years, they'll be fully guaranteed.
Yes, they will.
The contracts will be fully guaranteed and worth a lot of money. So for Gordon, it's kind of a catch-22. Now, his only sticking point is the Chargers are primed to make a run.
Right.
They got a good roster.
Yep.
So with Gordon, are they better? Yes. Now for the Chargers, they also drafted well. Like you said, you get punished for drafting very well. And Derwin James and Joey Bosa and Hunter Henry are guys that are the top of their positions in the NFL, and they're going to need their money here pretty quick. Mike Williams improved. He's going to need money.
All positions that me personally, I would rather pay for than a running back. And I love running backs.
Yeah, I love running backs too. So it's a unique position. Now, Anthony Lynn has cut his teeth as an NFL running back and a running back coach. So he has a unique perspective, and he's always done well with running backs. So there's another piece working against Gordon. So he's trying to make his play now to force the Chargers into a raise, but he's not going to get the money Todd Gurley get. I think we've seen the days of the running back market is capped out, and now we'll start dropping. I believe that.
There's one running back that I think will get Gurley money.
And that's Saquon Barkley.
Yeah.
That's what I think it'll be in.
Maybe Jerry Jones gives Ezekiel Elliott money. I told you this off air, and I'll say it again. I've seen Ezekiel Elliott without a big contract. I don't want to see Ezekiel Elliott with a big contract. But I could see Dallas paying Zeke as well. Outside of that, it goes like this. It goes up and down when you take a look at the running back market.
It really does.
And for years, it was dead. Remember, for about 3 or 4 years, it was dead.
The highest paid running back was Atlanta, Devontae Freeman. He was just short of $9 million.
It wasn't much at all.
So for Gordon, I think this really what it is, it stirs up conversation. I think the Chargers tell him, if you're not going to come to camp, we're not going to talk to you. So let's just throw that out right now. We'll continue contract talks. We've talked to you already. Your agents already leaked that you were disrespected, which again, agent talk.
Yes.
So I think it works out. And, you know, reading on the internet and all these things, I think it comes out to be a 3-year deal. Somewhere in the neighborhood of between $9 and $10 million. Okay. Gordon, they front load it for Gordon so they can shave the third year if they want to. But Gordon's worth a raise.
He's worth a raise, but going back to 3 years, $10 million, $10 million a year.
$10 million a year.
3 years, $30 million.
3 years, $30 million.
In that regard, Melvin Gordon is betting against his health, if that makes sense. Because you will get more money than 3 years, $30 million if you're franchised twice. You're going to get more money.
You're going to get more money.
Now, I shouldn't say betting against himself. It's a safe bet if you were to take a 3-year, $30 million deal. Or maybe you get, I don't know, 3 years, 36. Maybe they go up to $12 million for him. That's where I cap it. I'm not paying a running back more than $12 million a year.
I have a problem going over 10, be honest with you. I have a problem going over 10. And for Gordon, it's a good deal in the fact that he still has probably another contract left in him.
Yeah, I would say
so. At that age, because I believe he's going to be 26.
You get two contracts.
Yeah,
post-rookie deal, you can get two deals.
Even if he only fills out 2 years of that, he's going to be 28, not quite 29. He probably gets another deal, some more money made. Now, his health's been an issue, and the Chargers are going to bring it up. He's never played 16 games. He's rushed for 1,000 yards once in the 4 years. So, again...
But I look more at yards per touch. Especially in today's game in the
NFL. Well, he's only averaged over 4 yards a carry once in those 4 years.
Yeah, but per touch, he's effective out of the backfield.
He can catch,
he
can block, he has some value. So I think they reach, because I think what you're going to see is next year contracts are going to be pretty slow. With the CBA coming on and not knowing where the cap's going to be, I don't think we see the mega deals next year that we saw this year. Teams are going to be trying cashing in. I think it mellows. And again, if he has any injuries or anything like that, his value is going down, Jordan.
No doubt.
So
there's no question. So he's, in my mind, he's using, I shouldn't say he, his agent and he are using the fact that the Chargers have what I'm going to call a 2 year window to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, they do. They're primed right now to make a run at this.
And I think when you look at teams.
And that's his only leverage. He's saying, you need me to get over the hump.
Right.
But I want to be paid.
And when I say a 2 year window, most teams in the NFL that are competitive have a 2 to 3 year window.
2 to 3 years, yeah.
That's what you have to win a Super Bowl. So I don't like that he's using that against an organization that, A, has never won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
B, is in a new market, and they are second in that market.
They are second in that market.
They're a long ways behind the Rams in that market. I don't like the fact that he's using that against them when you have Austin Ekeler and Justin Jackson waiting in the wing.
Yeah, Justin Jackson played great.
You have two capable running backs.
Two capable running backs, so... And again, he has to look at that roster. And I think, again, that the agent, he's saying, hey, let's try and get you some money up front because in the future it's drying up. They're going to be paying guys some money, and you ain't going to get it.
I don't think there's a market to trade him.
There's no market to trade him.
I really don't.
Because somebody else has got to pay him, and nobody's got the money to do that right now.
Well, one team does, Indianapolis. That's about it.
I'll tell you what. And they, you know, that Frank Reich and Nick Sirianni over in Indianapolis know Melvin Gordon quite well.
There's ties there.
And Tom Telesco knows the Indianapolis very well. So is it a chance? I mean, let's be honest. Let me ask you flat out. If Chris Ballard and Frank Reich call Tommy T and say, hey, we'll give you a second rounder for him right now, would you take it?
Yes. I would take it in a heartbeat because, like I said, I have that much faith in Ekeler and Jackson. I have that much faith in them. We've seen the Chargers without Melvin Gordon. Now, look, it's a small sample size, but it's a month worth of football.
Yeah, it's four games.
It's a month worth of football. If you go back and you're 2-2, you're 1-3, and the numbers are obviously dipping, the fact of the matter is you still have Phillip Rivers under center.
Yeah, that's the most important piece of the
offense. That's the most important piece of the offensive puzzle. You have plenty of options on the outside.
Absolutely.
I'm okay with it. If I can get a second round pick, plus also this is the way I look at trading. I look for value, all right? I look for assets. He's on the final year of his rookie deal. Okay, so you have used what should be the prime of his career.
Yes.
Okay? You used a first-round pick, a mid-first-round pick on him. You get a second-round pick in return. Well, you're getting good value.
You're getting good value. You're getting a return on your investment.
You are, and I don't know that you would get a second-round pick for him. But I don't know. But the fact of the matter is, if it's between me signing him to a three-year, $36, $37, $38 million deal, and making the majority of that money fully guaranteed, or shipping him out and getting a second-round pick in return, I'm going to ship him out and get a second-round pick in return because I think this team can win without Melvin Gordon. I do.
I agree with you. Now, if they have a talk and the agent gets to throw out numbers to look good, which agents do, I mean, a lot of these contracts we read about, that's a lot of that's just garbage. You know, the full numbers and the years, they never see them. But if Gordon gets 2 years front-loaded... And it's a reasonable number, $9.5 million, $10 million a year. I think he's worth it.
Yeah.
I have no problem giving Melvin Gordon $9.5 million, $10 million a year.
I just don't think that nine's going to be enough to get a long-term deal.
We'll have to see. And see, he's got another issue going on too, that the NFL doesn't value running backs the way that he thinks they do to begin with. There's a lot of teams that aren't going to give him that money. That's another part of the trade too. Once they trade him, he has to agree to another contract. So that team's going to talk to him before the trade and his agent. If the other team says, well, I'm not giving you $12 million, then there's not going to be a trade anyways, and he's stuck in the same boat. He's playing for 5.6. So at some point, he's going to have to give a little. So we'll see where he stands. Let's see if Melvin Gordon wants to win, because the Chargers are poised to win, or if he wants to be shipped out just so he can say, hey, I got an extra $2 million. Some guys are in it for the money. Some guys are probably in it to play with Phillip Rivers. And
I think it has to be a two-year deal. I think it has to be a two-year deal.
And that's fine.
Okay, so I'll let you play GM here. If I'm Gordon's agent and I come to you and I say, I want a two-year, $26 million deal, what do you say?
I say that's too much.
Gurley's making 14.5. Le'Veon got paid. And look, it's in his best interest to get this done now, and I'm talking about Melvin Gordon, and I'll tell you why. This year is going to be very telling for running back salaries moving forward, because Le'Veon Bell had an opportunity to make a lot of money in Pittsburgh, elected to take a year off, and now he's back. He got paid, right? Todd Gurley got paid. We have a lot of question marks about Todd Gurley.
Yeah, there's a lot of question marks whether Gurley's going to see the third year of that deal.
So let me ask you this. If Gurley and Bell flop and Melvin Gordon still is under his rookie deal, that doesn't bode well for him.
No.
To me, those two contracts and those two players represent kind of a reoccurring theme, a domino effect, if you will, for through running backs throughout the league.
It does. And Le'Veon Bell didn't win. They can tell you all they want, but Le'Veon Bell didn't win. The way that's structured, he's got a two-year deal going, and he lost, what was it, $13.5 million?
A lot of money. He's making 13.1, I think, right now.
Yeah, he would have made more than that last year.
He would have made 14.
Yeah, okay, 14 so he lost there. Money, and this is basically a two-year deal with the Jets. All this fluff that the agents throw out, that's basically a two-year deal with the Jets. After 2 years, if he doesn't play lights out or there's a lot of carries on him, he's gone.
I like this conversation an awful lot, and there's some other running backs that we can kind of loop into this whole conversation. We'll take a quick commercial break. We'll come back and continue to talk about the running back market in the NFL. Le'Veon Bell making 13.1. David Johnson just signed a 3-year, $40 million deal recently. Todd Gurley signed his mega deal. Yeah, we'll talk about those when we return. It's a Wednesday edition of Drive Time Sports, and it's right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750, the play-by-play home of the USU Eastern Eagles.
We're back on Drive Time Sports talking NFL running backs. And of course, all this conversation revolves around Melvin Gordon and the contract talks. And Vinny, we ended last segment by talking about two running backs in particular that really will play into what the Chargers do next with Melvin Gordon. And if they don't play a factor in what happens next to Melvin Gordon, I have to believe that the 2019 offseason is going to be so pivotal for the next 5 years to the running back position. Because again, how does Gurley bounce back after a mega deal? How does Le'Veon Bell bounce back from taking a year off after giving up a lot of money and signing a mega deal? And then you have Melvin Gordon, and I have to believe that Ezekiel Elliott would be next on that list. We also talked about David Johnson. But let's say that three out of these four situations that I just mentioned, three out of the four, turn out to be failures. And the Rams or the Jets or the Cardinals, who can cut David Johnson in 2020 if they so choose, or the Gordon situation doesn't work out, this is a huge setback for the running back market. A huge setback. And you can go ahead and throw the Cowboys in that category as well. That's why I'm saying the 2019-2020 year in general, it's monumental for the next 5 years for those who play running back.
I agree with you. And then you're going to do CBA coming up. So what's the cap going to be like? What's the money going to be like? What's the structure of these going to be like? It is. It's huge. And Gordon's trying to strike while the iron's hot. His agent's telling him this. So you have David Johnson who had a wrist injury, and then last year for the Cardinals was basically a wasted year. So they didn't get their money's worth.
No.
Le'Veon Bell, like we talked about, we'll see how that turns out. If Gurley's knee's a problem, the Rams got burned.
Mm-hmm.
So again, you're looking at a league that's trying to push throwing the football. We are now a pass first league. We can agree on that, no doubt.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. The rules and everything are designed that way. Running backs are going to be devalued. That's the way it's going to go.
We're seeing more of a hybrid style, though, of running backs in today's game.
Yeah.
Saquon Barkley, Todd Gurley, Le'Veon Bell. Yeah. These are unique backs in the sense that their usage rate and their touch rate is so much higher than it would have been 10, 12 years ago, right?
With all the receptions and everything
right.
else. Absolutely. And it's such a split league now where every one of these guys has a breather back. I mean, Gurley, they used a third round pick to give Gurley a breather back. The Rams did. So Le'Veon, maybe he's an exception, maybe he's not. I don't know. And Le'Veon is a great receiver.
Oh, he's fantastic.
He's a great receiver.
He's a great all-around football player, has been since his days at Michigan State, he has been.
And you know what? The Pittsburgh Steelers were going to cut his usage rate anyways, the reason they drafted Connor in the third round.
Yeah.
Third-round picks are not there to watch. So he was going to get a breather anyway. So it's a two-back league in most situations. I mean, we can agree on that. It really is a two-back league, so that's a devalued position.
And as far as Ezekiel Elliott goes, where does he fit in here? Because obviously he's the next back that has to get paid. Okay, so looking at what the Cardinals gave David Johnson, three-year, $39 million deal. They did so because he needed an extension,
yep.
Just like Melvin Gordon, just like Ezekiel Elliott, just like Todd Gurley, right? Same concept. He's shown that he could be an elite running back. David Johnson was successful out of the backfield and out as a receiver, mm-hmm. I mean, in both senses, right? And then you take a look at it that he needed some money. He had outplayed his contract.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So they got, and still, because of an injury, I feel like the Cardinals did get David Johnson. 3 years, $39 million. It's below market value, right? And if you can get 3 years, $39 million, if you can use that as a gauge for Gordon, I think it's a successful. I do think it's successful. Because there's so much wiggle room in that final year of that contract.
Right.
Maybe that's the way this happens. But looking at what he got, and then taking a look at what Gurley got, where's the market at for Ezekiel Elliott and Melvin Gordon? Where's it at?
I don't know. It's just going to see how teams value that position. I really believe that. I think that the fact that the Rams had struggled and they're trying to win L.A. and that new stadium coming on, is that a factor in keeping Todd Gurley? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Do you think Cleveland would have done the same thing?
Probably not. But
it's a situation, you know, every team's going to be different.
What would the offseason bring to Gurley, though? And that's the other question. If Gurley comes out and he looks terrible in the first 3 or 4 weeks, I think it gives us a pretty clear indication as to where he's at. Right.
Yeah.
Le'Veon Bell, on the flip side, can come out and struggle the first 3 to 4 weeks of the season and say, this guy hasn't played football in a year.
Yeah.
There's a difference between Gurley and Bell in that regard. And Gurley is the man in L.A. right now.
He is the man.
He is the man.
And they were going to give him that money. They needed him in L.A. Sean McVay needed to take it to the next level, and he had to.
And they were creative with it. And I think that's what has to happen. Again, you mentioned these names with the Chargers. Joey Bosa is going to get paid. Derwin James is going to get paid. Hunter Henry, if he comes back from his injury, which I fully expect him to look great.
If he's 100%, he's going to get paid.
He's going to get paid. Okay, and so.
Would you take Gordon over any one of those three players?
Yeah,
I wouldn't.
I wouldn't take him over Bosa. I wouldn't take him over James. Hunter Henry, based off the severity of the injury, maybe. But I have to think about it. It's not. Oh, absolutely. I have to think about.
You have to think about that.
Over
that
James and Bosa, no.
Not even close.
No.
You know, so not. I would probably give him the money over Mike Williams and Keenan Allen. Keenan's been paid, but you know, if Mike Williams plays great this year, I wouldn't. You know, I'm just saying that. I'm convinced they could use a third round pick on a running back next year, and he could be a very good player in that Charger offense.
Well, again, and speaking of markets and the way this fluctuates for running backs, you'd have to help me out here. We got to go back 2011, 2012. Eddie Lacy coming out of Alabama. Eddie Lacy was at one time a projected first round pick. Eddie Lacy was good coming out of Bama.
Yeah.
How far did his stock fall? And it wasn't necessarily because of Eddie Lacy's workouts. I don't believe that. I believe it had more to do with the running back market way the league was turning at that point in time.
It was changing, and he doesn't catch the ball.
So he fell, I believe, was he a third-rounder?
Yeah,
third or fourth-rounder. Pretty heavily.
He's out of football.
Yeah, he's not playing at all anymore.
He's out of football. He's been out of football for 3 years.
Remember when Trent Richardson was selected in the first round? It was insane to take a running back that high at that particular time. The market has changed so much for running backs, and I felt like it was creeping back up.
It was creeping back up, and Barkley helped it.
Well, it started with Gurley.
It did start with Gurley.
The Rams took Gurley 10th, and then the next year the Cowboys selected Zeke fourth. And then it was in fashion once again because we saw guys make such an immediate impact. But again, Gurley was a unique talent coming out of Georgia. Ezekiel Elliott was fantastic at Ohio State, but it made perfect sense for the Cowboys to select a running back with that offensive line that they had.
Well, if they were all coming out at the same time, though, if they were all in the same draft class with their records, you have Ezekiel Elliott with his receiving questions and his character issues, with Gurley's knee,
mm-hmm.
Barkley would have been the first pick out of all
those. No question
about it. There's and we
no
both
doubt.
Believe that's a gold jacket-wearing player.
Barkley was so good coming out of college. He was so unique that the Giants, they didn't necessarily even need Saquon Barkley. I know that's bad to say because he's so great. They could have traded that pick and got a haul of picks for a quarterback. Nobody would have been trading up to draft Saquon Barkley. Nope. They would have been trading up to draft Sam Darnold.
Yep.
Okay? But the talent was so obvious. You have to take a guy like that with number two.
It was the safest
pick in the draft.
Yeah, it was the safest pick in the draft. You knew looking at him, you were looking at this guy just needs to stay healthy, and we're going to see him in Canton.
You know, and it goes,
a generational type talent. And you see him every once in a while where you know that guy's a Hall of Famer.
I mean, you know how high I think of Marshall Faulk. I see glimpses of Marshall Faulk every time I watch Saquon Barkley.
Absolutely.
I see
the same thing with my guy LT, LaDainian Tomlinson. And the same thing we talked about it. Marshall and LT both, I bet you they would have been Pro Bowl slot receivers. They were that good catching the ball. They could have been Pro Bowl slot receivers, moved positions, and still made the Pro Bowl. They were that good. I think Barkley's saying he can catch, block, run, do everything. And I think he's a little bigger than them, actually.
Yeah,
he probably would give him the edge as the runner
between the
tackles.
He's bigger than LT.
Yeah, LT was 5'10", 220 pounds. Yeah.
So, I'm looking at the running backs, though, and I'm seeing a change once again. And then you can throw, for every Saquon Barkley, throw in a Leonard Fournette. And I'm not saying that Leonard Fournette's a bust, but if you could redraft...
He's pretty close.
Is Leonard Fournette a top 10 pick?
No, he's not even close.
So there are cautionary tales. And that's why when I look at Gordon and I look at Elliott, so much hinges, especially with the new CBA right around the corner, so much hinges on Le'Veon Bell and Todd Gurley.
And they're trying to get... Right now, that's their leverage. They're trying to strike while it's hot, thinking, I got to score now.
Yeah.
I got to score now. Because if the contracts go down, the franchise tag goes down. Remember, it's the average of the top five players.
Yep.
And there's two big contracts right now, or three, we mentioned. But the next two go way down. So the franchise tag's going to keep going down. Because if Gurley's unhealthy and Le'Veon Bell don't play great, those are two-year deals. They're going to be gone.
And as far as an NFL team goes with a franchise tag... The franchise tag, in my opinion, and I said this last segment, I'll go back to it, it was built for a running back.
Oh, yeah.
All right, because if you tag a running back, it's guaranteed money for 1 year. There's no long-term ramifications there. You talked about the Gurley deal blowing up in L.A. It's because there's long-term ramifications. Mm-hmm. It's a long deal. Okay, the franchise tag, it's one and done. So if you got a guy that's 27 years old, and we'll say that franchise tag falls down, let's say $10 million. I'd have no problem tagging a running back for $10 million for one season. I'd have no problem. You want to use it again the next season? Okay, now I know it increases quite a bit, but so it goes
It's only
from,
20%.
It goes up from $10 million to $12 million. Okay, for one more year.
And if he's healthy and he was great the year before, $12 million, it's a done deal.
Now, even if he does succeed in that second year of that franchise tag, he may be gone. He's going to be so irritated with the franchise that he's not going to re-up.
So what?
But that's fine, because at that point in time, you've used 2 years of his prime with no long-term ramifications. In my mind, the franchise tag was specifically built for a running back.
And while you're waiting, you can draft his replacement.
Absolutely.
And that second franchise tag, just like baseball, well, the first franchise tag was what Pittsburgh did. Well, we'll draft Connors. And if he doesn't come back next year, James Connors plays. And that's what happened, Le'Veon. Well, I'll show you. Well, you ain't showing us nothing. We saved $15 million, $14 million. Mm-hmm. We had a guy rush for almost 1,000 yards.
Yeah.
You didn't show us nothing.
And speaking of the franchise tag, and we can end this segment with this. If you need any more idea that the franchise tag was built for a running back, we don't even know what Jadeveon Clowney is. Is he a defensive end or is he a linebacker?
Yeah, he's filing a grievance.
Yeah, there's a grievance because it fluctuates so much.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's built for skill positions.
That's what
the franchise tag is built for.
Right.
All right, the league has changed where the two highest paid positions in the game today just so happen to be pass rush and a quarterback. Right? That franchise tag was put in for skill positions. And the reason I say that, Vinny, is because I'm just going to take a look at the top jersey sales. Take a look at the top jersey sales. From a fan standpoint, 8 out of the top 10 players, I'm going to go out of the limb and say are skill position players. Most popular players are skill position players. It's a lack of player movement. It's built for skill position players. It just so happens that the league has changed where you can go ahead and use it on the pass rush if you want. there's gray areas because I don't think it was built for defensive ends and linebackers.
No, I think you're right. That's a great point.
It was built for skill position players.
Yeah, that's a great point. I think you're right. And we're going to find out. It's going to be interesting. And again, you started the segment with the fact that a lot of people don't realize when you're seeing these stories, it is an agent-driven league. And,
it is.
And Gordon's agent started this. He got on the table and he started making noise for his client. And that's what he gets paid to do. Like it, love it, however you look at the agents, that's their job. They get paid a lot of money to make them money.
And they get a percentage of what these guys get.
Yeah, they get paid a lot of money to make these guys money. And, you know, that's his job. Whether we like it or not, it's inconsequential because that's part of the NFL business world we live in. That's what Gordon's paying him to do. Hey, make me my money.
The NBA and the NFL are the two most agent-driven leagues. I can't speak in the world because I don't pay attention to much sports outside of this country. But when we take a look at the major sports in this country, more so than baseball, more so than hockey, no question. I mean, you'll see baseball players sign. Bryce Harper signs 3 years, $300 million. Manny Machado signs a 10-year, $300 million contract. I don't remember agent stories coming out. In fact, I remember Baltimore saying, we're not going to be able to re-sign this guy. We're so far away. We're going to deal him right now. We're going to get as many prospects as we can. I wasn't agent-driven. In the NBA, Anthony Davis chose the Los Angeles Lakers while he was a member of the New Orleans Pelicans. Russell Westbrook chose the Houston Rockets when he was a member of the Oklahoma City Thunder. Paul George chose the Clippers when he was a member of the Thunder, right?
Yeah.
It's agent-driven in the NBA and the NFL. We don't see that as much in baseball.
I agree with you 100%. And that's their job to do it. And that's what Gordon's paying his guy to do. Hey, make me my money. And he thought, hey, I'm going to strike while the iron's hot. Do I think Melvin Gordon misses a game of football? I really don't.
I don't either.
I don't think he misses a game.
I don't think it's in his DNA.
I don't think he misses a game.
I don't think
absolutely
it's in his
not.
DNA. I don't view Melvin Gordon the same way I view Le'Veon Bell.
No.
And I think in the charity event, you kind of saw that firsthand.
Yeah.
Right? When you read his interview,
you can tell that maybe he emphasizes, hey, I need to be paid, but it's a lot different tone than the agent throwing it out to start.
I'm not playing, and I will be traded, or I am not playing. I don't buy that.
I don't buy that one bit.
The only thing I hate about it is that you're using the chance of a franchise who's never won a Super Bowl, and they're there.
You're using
that as leverage, and that's a problem to me.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I have a problem with it, too. So I'm gonna chalk it up to agent talk. That's his job. But I think come training camp, they start talking, and he realizes that's the best situation for him. Because, once again, if he gets traded, they have to come to a contract with whoever it is. So it could be he might end up in, you know, get what he wants and end up, I don't know, Washington. Yeah, and Case Keenum, that's going to be your quarterback?
Green Bay.
You know.
Green Bay would make a lot of sense with the new coach.
Yeah, Green Bay would make a lot of sense. But that's a good situation.
It's a great situation.
But he could end up in a situation where, you know, it's not a good situation.
Yeah.
And at that point, it's like, well, I just, you know, the Chargers go on and they're in the playoffs, and I'm watching the game, and I could say, oh, well, I stood my ground and I made $1.5 million extra. Well, bud, yeah. Who's winning there?
Now you're playing in Buffalo.
Now you're playing in Buffalo. Exactly. Yeah. So, you got Phillip Rivers under center and Mike Williams and Keenan Allen and Hunter Henry. They're helping you get yardage, Melvin. Trust me, you ought to know.
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see. But I don't expect to miss games. I really don't. I don't think this is a end of the season. Do you?
No, I don't. I don't. We got a break one last time. We'll come back and put the final touches on this edition of Drive Time Sports right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750. The play-by-play home of the Emory Spartans.
We're back on Drive Time Sports. KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM. We're going to end this show by talking more contract stipulations in the NFL. This one I find fascinating, and I don't know, Vinny, if you find this as goofy and mind-boggling as I do, because we have to believe that when teams are sitting, or when players' union is sitting around a table talking with owners, and they're coming to an agreement on the collective bargaining agreement, that every little nook and cranny is discussed. We have to believe that, right?
Especially on the thing that they hate. Players hate the franchise tag.
Players hate it. I'm telling you right now, if I sat down and I looked at a CBA meeting, I wouldn't understand half the stuff that these guys are talking about.
No.
Don't want to know half the stuff that they're talking about. But now with the franchise tag, okay, Robbie Gould's not playing on the franchise tag. Grady Jarrett's not playing on the franchise tag.
Yep, they signed.
They came to an agreement. Jadeveon Clowney will be playing underneath the franchise tag. Now there's a battle over $1.7 million because the Texans identify him as a linebacker. He defines himself as a defensive end. And there is a $1.7 million difference in the franchise tag between those two positions.
And nobody has an answer.
That's what's amazing to me.
Yeah, nobody has an answer. How do you... So, Jordan, for us, they're watching this all the time. We use these terms. But basically, you have a three-down lineman, four-linebacker alignment, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a 34. Then you have a base four-down lineman, three-linebacker alignment, which everybody calls the 43, right?
Right.
And now 60% of the time, most teams in the NFL are in their nickel defense, which means they have five defensive backs. So most likely one of the linebackers leaves, and you have four-down linemen, two linebackers, five defensive backs, right? So that's basically the NFL in a nutshell. That's what defenses look like. So Jadeveon Clowney in his base formation is a outside linebacker in a three-down lineman, four-linebacker lineman.
Yeah,
he's an outside linebacker in a 34 defense.
He is.
So technically, he's a linebacker.
He's labeled a defensive end.
And now he's saying, I'm a defensive end because I play defensive end. Where do you draw the line?
You know, and this is
a gray area, like you said.
It is. This is not Jimmy Graham saying that he was a receiver. Remember that?
Yeah, that was ridiculous.
This is not the same thing.
This is not the same thing. Now, if you go by percentage, I'm just going to guess here, and I bet we're pretty close, Jordan. We're watching football. We're pretty close. 60% of the time, the Texans were in their nickel defense. I'm going to say between 60 and 65%. What do you think?
Probably. That's probably fair.
Dead right. Yeah. Okay, now he's playing defensive end and a four-down front in that alignment. At that point, he's a defensive end.
Yeah.
So at what point does percentages or alignment, how do you figure that out? Are they going to technically say, well, you were an outside linebacker 47% of the time and you were defensive end 53% of the time? So averages?
How do you at that point you're a defensive end? If you play and again, to me, I brought this up to you. I play in an in-depth fantasy baseball league, and nowadays you see platooning all the time in fantasy. But in baseball, you see platooning. And when I say we play in an in-depth league, we play in an in-depth league where we draft minor league baseball players. That's how in-depth it is. If you play five games at a position, you're eligible for that position, right? So if I have an outfielder play first base five games, he is eligible as a first baseman after that fifth game. Right? In college sports, it's been changed now, but at one time it was 20 to 25% of the snaps, you were eligible for a red shirt. Somebody kept track if this kid played 20% of the snaps.
Yeah.
How can you not do that when you have 32 teams on 53-man rosters? How can you not do that?
How can you, how do you not have a plan in place for this situation? So the union, when Clowney files a grievance against somebody, they're going to say, well, what's your argument? I don't know.
I don't think he wins.
I don't think he wins. I think the Texans get $1.7 million out of the deal.
But it's just amazing to me that in all the meetings, all the talk, this was something.
There's no stipulation in there to differentiate.
And like I said, Jimmy Graham, come on, that guy played tight end, obviously.
Obviously.
Okay. But again, I mentioned this to you off the air. We've seen so many hybrids, right? Safeties transitioning to linebacker, linebackers transitioning to safeties. We've seen safeties transition to defensive backs. The pay scale is completely different for all of those positions.
All those positions.
And this has never happened before.
And this has never... You're right. So one of your homers, so LaMarcus Joyner played free safety last year exclusively.
Mm-hmm.
He's moved to Oakland. He got a big contract. He's going to be playing nickel corner in that. They've pretty much come out, hey, we're going to slide him down into the nickel. So he's a half safety, and he's a half corner. So if this was come up, he did get franchise tag.
He did.
2 years ago.
Yeah.
Right?
As a safety.
As a safety. And early in his career, he was a...
He was a defensive back early on in his career.
He was a corner. He played nickel corner. So at what point did he not stand up and go, whoa, I played nickel corner for a year?
Well, Mark Barron's another one.
Mark Barron. He went from safety to linebacker.
Big difference.
So you're right. How does this not come up? So the next guy I'm thinking of is my guy, Derwin James.
He's a linebacker, isn't he?
He's going to play linebacker in the nickel so many times. Maybe
56% of the snaps.
So he's a linebacker.
Well, that makes more, and they make more than a safety, if I'm not correct.
Yeah, I believe they do.
The linebackers make more than a safety, so why wouldn't he say that? Like Clowney.
Yeah.
He's saying, I'm a defensive end. Does he care? No, we don't care. He wants the $1.7 million. You can list him whatever. You could have listed him as the punter for all he cares. But he wants the $1.7 million.
Now, if anyone is saying, okay, you're really having a conversation about $1.7 million, that's a big deal.
That's
against
a big
the cap.
Deal.
That's a very big deal.
Yeah, that's a big deal. That's on the cap. That's on everything. The Texans got a budget. That's three veteran minimums in season if somebody gets hurt. That's three veteran contracts they could have had for that $1.7 million.
And let's say he gets franchised again.
Now you've added 20% to the total. So that might be $2.5 million.
It's a big deal.
It's a big deal.
Fun conversations to be had when it comes to the NFL. Vinny, next week we're going to throw in some college football as well.
Yeah, we are.
We're going to talk some college football. I'm looking forward to it. Out of time on this edition of the show. He's Vinny Rondinelli. I'm Jordan Buscarini. Be safe. We're out.